This is Bill Tiller of Tiller.org. You're listening to BBSRadio.com. Don't forget to tune in to The Infinite Consciousness with Eva Herr every Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Enjoy.
And tonight I have with us Stephen Lewis. We're going to talk about his new book, Sanctuary, The Path of Consciousness, but we're also going to talk about his new healing modality, which is what I'm really interested in. Excited about that. How are you, Stephen?
I'm fine, Eva. Can you up the sound on your end, by any chance?
Do what?
You sound like you're speaking to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, I don't know.
Your engineer probably can deal with that.
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, I can hear you.
Okay.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Fine.
Let's talk about, tell us a little bit about your background, a little bit about what you did and how you got to where you are before we get started.
Well, it's really a lifetime thing because at this level, everything is a lifetime thing. I believe I was chosen for this, and that means I was chosen to serve a miracle. I was kind of a prodigy, Eva, but, you know, I didn't understand what that meant. And it was the confluence of quantum mechanics and so many other things. And just personally, my parents said to me, son, you're a prodigy, but you know what? We don't live very long. Do what you got to do quickly. And somehow I gravitated to the idea of, I must understand healing. And that's intuitive, which I'm sure you know above all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it began, and that's the AIM program. The AIM program is simply a modality that compels you to heal yourself, because as you and I both know, only you heal you. But there is and has always been help in healing yourself. And this is a technology that's spiritual that helps you heal yourself by forcing you to focus 24 hours a day, 24/7, on everything you need to heal, and so you will.
Tell me how this, start from the beginning and tell me how this modality works.
Well,
it involves computers, right?
Well, yes, it's computers, yes. Remember, my background is not the same as yours. My background is primarily in, and I'm making assumptions, is in quantum mechanics.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a
and spirituality came very late to me.
Do you have a degree in physics, or you did? That's just where your interest lies.
Well, that was my interest. I have a number of degrees, including medical modalities. But at some point, I became enamored of Niels Bohr and David Bohm.
Mm-hmm.
And my primary, you know, degrees are in mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized at some point, my God, if this is real, it's real for you and me and our lives every day. It's not about a laboratory or a classroom. And that's where it kind of began.
When you say, when this is real, what is this?
That if consciousness creates the material.
Yeah, we know
world,
that for sure.
If consciousness creates the material world, then this is not for some classroom. This is for life. And I've read your bio, and that's why I realize you understand all this.
Yeah, it's my passion. It really is.
And so I said, okay, there is only one LCD, only one language we all speak, and that is consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Now,
it's not English, French, German. It's not dog or cat. Everything speaks consciousness. So how do you measure life in units of consciousness? I spent, I would say, about 20 years trying to figure it out and got nowhere. And then I think that my diligence and my vision were looked upon with sympathy, and it was revealed to me. And so that's one of the two things that I add to this huge field. I can measure anything in the world in units of consciousness.
And tell me, first of all, I got a question here. What is a unit of consciousness?
Well, it's not on the electromagnetic spectrum. It is a value. I use an 8-digit value right now, but this is what was revealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's elbows or kidneys have a unique frequency and consciousness, but mm-hmm. yours is different than mine.
Yeah, I would imagine, because gradients of consciousness exist.
Yes,
so
right.
I imagine
and so
that,
once
know,
that happened, I said, okay, let's identify everything in its resonance, its vibration in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. And I use a holographic technology. And a hologram, you understand, is anything in the world unique to you is you holographically. Whether it's your a lock of your hair or a drop of your blood
or
even your picture, it doesn't matter. It contains you energetically. And as such, it's your hologram and can be measured.
And when you measure this hologram or this, whatever it is that you have, do you get one overall number or do you get different distinct numbers for different things?
Well, it depends. You know, it depends on the question you ask. If I ask, what are your hereditary imbalances? What frequencies show in you genetically?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get the dominant genetic imbalance in consciousness, in your consciousness. And then I'll say anything else, and the next, and the next, and the next, until I can't find anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I find. And that's the smaller part of it all. That's my evaluation, which doesn't matter very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger part of it is using that technology and compelling you to choose what you need to heal. Because healing is your instinct, Eva. It's our instinct, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can focus on healing any individual thing, you will do so.
I'm curious, if you get the frequency for a physiological disease that's here rather than something that's genetic, like we talked about the other day, have you compared those numbers to what the actual organ, to just see if you're close, to what the actual organ's oscillation rates are?
Well, I can do that, and I have often. I don't do it routinely, but I can. But
so
sure,
yes.
Because everything in the world has an energetic footprint. Everything.
Right. But I guess what I mean is, let's say that if scientists were to measure the oscillation rate of a uterus, that as the whole uterus rather than the distinct portion that's sick, how close would your machine come to whatever science says a uterus vibrates at?
Well, you know, I'm not permitted, and I've seen your website, I'm not permitted to speak medically, but when I tell someone, I can't tell you have this disease, but I can tell you, with this information, you'd be well advised to see your MD and have an examination. In that case, the correlation has been exact.
I mean, I was curious about the numbers. The numbers
almost
you get
exact.
Versus whatever, because I'm real interested in that too, resonant frequencies. If the scientist says, got his equipment and said, okay, the frequency of this uterus is 16,572.68. Well, that's what it should be if it's operating at its peak. Would your machine get a number similar to that, or would the consciousness units be different?
Well, it would be different because it's a different scale that I use.
Okay.
But the point is right. You're correct. There is a resonant frequency that is ideal.
Uh-huh.
And the question becomes, to what degree do you deviate from the ideal?
Right.
And then the question becomes, why do you deviate?
So tell
me
about...
Does that make sense to you?
Of course, yeah.
Why?
I would imagine the density lower. I mean, it gets more dense, and so the frequency has lowered due to emotions or genetics or whatever it is, which causes it to get sick. would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell us how you do this to someone, how you would treat someone.
Well, you know, I don't treat anyone.
Or whatever it is you do,
I think that's a critical differentiation. Diagnosing and treating and hopefully curing are very, very good things. But that's in the realm of medicine. Healing is not external. Only you can heal yourself. What I can do, and what I think you can do also, I think you do it, is I can compel you to focus on whatever you need to heal within yourself. And that's the technology. You will select what you need, because if you and I were next to each other on these trays on the AIM program, obviously, Eva, you would not choose an imbalance in your prostate, and I have flawless ovaries.
Right. So how would you go about it?
But you have a higher intelligence, as do I. You'd select what you need, I'd select what I need. And you would focus on whatever you need. For example, if you had an imbalance, a negative frequency that you acquired today, by the end of today, you need not focus on it. It would be gone. But if it's something that's hereditary, it may take you 5-6 months. The deeper it is, the longer it takes for you to heal it.
Of course.
But there's no limit. There's nothing in the world you cannot heal within you.
So give us a sample of what would happen if, for somebody that came to your office to use AIM, what would happen when they walked in the door?
Well, come to my office. Actually, there are 40 or 50,000 people on AIM, and I've never met most of them. But if they send in their hologram, their picture, I would look and see, first of all, and let me kind of hedge a little bit, Eva. There's nothing whatsoever in the universe you cannot heal. I mean, that's a matter of you and God.
I agree with that.
But there are things that this technology may not be able to help you with, because I'm just a work in progress. And so I look and say, is there anything that makes me uncertain about you? Uncertain that you will heal everything, every imbalance in the program. Uncertain that you will not heal it. You know, you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, there's nothing about you you cannot heal, that's all that matters. And then after that, I can say, what is your life force on a scale of 1 to 100? What is this? What is your biologic age?
Okay.
I mean, chronologically, you may be 40 years old. Biologically, you might be 95.
Tell us how you get that information, though.
Pardon me?
Do you hear this in your head, or do you get this from the machine?
Oh, no. It's all part of
that's what I want my listeners
program.
To know, how you go about getting this information.
Well, no. I it's programmed in my computer. What I did was correlate biologic age and chronologic age and correlate the time at which every hereditary imbalance would become active and what would change that and how old one would have to be for it to happen in the absence of some mitigating factor like an immune deficiency and on. And, I mean, Eva, I've been at this 30 years. And so, consequently, am I absolutely right? Of course not. Because the program grows, my technology grows, I grow as you grow.
Mm-hmm.
But the track record's pretty good, and that's why if you look at the book, you can see the endorsements.
Yeah, it had good endorsements. I just want my listeners to understand what the technology is, and then after they understand what it is, I'd like for them to know what it can do for them and some success stories that you've had.
Because
that's what I'm trying to get them to understand. So they don't have to come to visit someone; they can just send a picture, right? Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay.
I'll never meet most of my clients.
Okay.
I mean, I say clients because when I was in practice as a doctor, I had a waiting list for a new patient to see me of 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not in practice anymore. So yeah, I mean, I'll never meet most of my clients. Most AIM participants.
So They send you a picture, and then what do you do with it? How does the computer
read the picture? The first thing I do is the only thing that matters. I look and say, is there anything about you energetically that I feel we can't help you heal in you?
Now, are you doing this with, is this you're looking at the picture? Is this
you put it in the computer?
That's what I want to know.
I place this picture on a conductive tray attached to the computer, and then say, what do I find?
Okay, so it
do I find the frequency of energetic uncertainty? Do I find the frequency of cancer, of whatever, of heart disease? What is in this picture, Eva, is your hologram. A hologram, very simply, is anything unique to you.
Right.
And DNA is not relevant. That DNA is the last thing that changes.
Mm-hmm. So the computer
it's
will...
It's energy. I mean, you work with energy. You know what I mean?
Yes. The computer will scan it in, and then it will read it and, like, give you a printout or
something?
Well,
it won't do that. I wish it would. That would be great. It doesn't work.
What happened?
I have to ask a question.
And how do you answer the question?
Because the computer's a binary device, Eva.
All a
computer do is can say yes or no.
So do you type in a question, or how does that
Well, they're all programmed in.
Okay. And
I program. It's my program. But
okay.
The first question is there anything... Remember, once again, computers simply say yes or no.
Right.
Their advantage is they do it very quickly, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first question is there anything about you that makes me feel you may not heal yourself using this technology? If the answer is yes, that is the case, we need to tell you, because there is no excuse for a half-truth. A half-truth is a lie, and so we do that. But that's at this point in time, this evolution of this technology,
mm-hmm.
it's rarely the case. So assuming you can heal anything within you, actively, hereditarily, and I mean that literally, because if you remove a hereditary imbalance and you then have a child, you won't have it within you to pass on.
Right.
That's what healing means. It's gone. It doesn't mean killing the symptoms or anything else. It means it is not part of you.
Right.
As you know, that's what healing is.
Of course. So when you do this, what is the next step after you ask your question?
My doing this doesn't change a thing. That's just my evaluation.
Okay.
Now, the next step is to be placed on your hologram. Your picture is placed on, right now it's 8 trays. It'll be 9 very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
That basically generate frequencies for about 500,000 imbalances. Now, because of what, this is my other contribution, because of something I call the Rosetta frequency. Because, Eva, I don't care how bright you are, or I am, or anyone else is, or Einstein, or anyone. No one can deal with 500,000 things. It's just too much information.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rosetta frequency says, ignore everything that doesn't pertain to you. And there are about 70 Rosetta frequencies now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will select the imbalances you have, and you will keep selecting them until you don't need to because they're gone. Then you'll stop selecting them, because I can check and see, what is this person selecting? What is this person not selecting? No, not selecting would be silly. 500,000 things, I said, what is this person selecting? And so I can check and see, and that's important, because if you have the frequency of hereditary and active cancer or heart disease or whatever, you will select it. If you have the frequency, if you need the frequency of unconditional love or perpetual gratitude, you may or may not select it, because survival is an instinct. Spirituality is volitional, it's voluntary. Healing your body is an instinct. Healing your soul is voluntary. I think you believe that yourself.
Yeah, of course. Now I have a question.
No matter how unconscious you are, something in you will say, I need to heal this thing in my body.
I have a question here. When this thing emits frequencies, is it done through intention or does it have a little oscillator in it?
I'm not sure I understood your question, but everything in life is through intention. In fact, one time I was at Wayne Dyer's house. You know Wayne, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Steve, my picture is in the DMV. Why doesn't it do anything?" I go, "It's just a picture, Wayne. What do you want it to do?" He said, "I don't get it." I said, "Wayne, all that happens is through the power of your intention. Your picture is just a tool. It's like as if you were in a hardware store and saw a saw and some wood and said, why is that saw not cutting that wood? Because it's your intention that makes it happen." Now, that is the distinction. And, you know, by the way, Wayne wrote a book called The Power of Intention, so I called him up and said, "Hey, Wayne, you owe me money." He said, "Try and collect it." Wayne's a good friend of mine, so it's fine.
Okay. Well, let me reword my question then, because I'm interested in how this thing works. You know, Bill Tiller built what he calls an intention carrier, and he places an intention into this machine, and then the machine just simply emits that, you know, he plugs it in the wall, and so that machine carries the intention like someone sitting there focusing on healing for 24/7. So is that how this intention is carried out?
Well, yes and no.
Or
Lisa,
does it literally have an oscillator?
I know Bill Tiller's work. It depends upon the intention for what. If you have a physical imbalance, which in the long run does come from some an emotional source, but if you have something that you need to heal, it's about survival. Your intention is to heal it and survive, because survival is an instinct. An instinct does not need thought. It's just there. It's no different than the swallows flying back to Capistrano. They don't sit and think about, should we fly back this year? They just do it. That's an instinct. Now, there's the absolute and there are gradations. For example, I believe, Eva, you and I would do well if we embraced the frequency of unconditional love. I believe that.
Of course.
Right. But you know what? If you don't have that intention, you will not embrace that frequency. If you have the frequency of cancer, hereditary active, you will embrace it and commence to heal it, because that's called survival. Survival, the word instinct is very strong. You have the instinct to survive. Do you have an instinct fundamentally to elevate your consciousness? I think in the long run, you will, but, you know, that's subjective in this sense, Eva. I do believe in reincarnation, that you're here many, many lives. Now, that's just my belief. I can't prove it at all, but I believe it. I think ultimately you will come to that conclusion and feel whatever it is within you that creates these imbalances, are in your soul. You must fill that vacuum. But that's consciousness. First things first. You cannot, it's as if this, if you build a house, Eva, you cannot build it from the roof down. You must establish your foundation first. Your physical body must function. That's survival. You do have that instinct. Do we all have the instinct to elevate our consciousness? I think we all will, but I'm not sure we all do right now. What do you think?
Do we all have the instinct to elevate our consciousness?
Yes.
I think that it comes within the gradient.
Within the what? I'm sorry.
I think there's gradients to consciousness. You know, I hate to say degrees or levels, but stair steps in consciousness.
Right.
I think it follows pretty much like David Hawkins' book.
It depends upon that moment, doesn't it?
And I don't think you have any desire to elevate it until you know that it's there.
Until you know that it must be there.
Right.
Right, right. But if you have the frequency of gonorrhea or heart disease or cancer, you will grasp the need to heal that imbalance, because that's called survival. And survival is really fundamental for you, for me, for cats, for dogs, for viri, for bacteria, for everything, for life.
Okay, I want to ask a question about the way your machine works, though. I'm trying to figure that out. Your machine has to, you said that you put the picture on trays. So something's happening on those trays, and you said that frequencies are being emitted.
So yeah, there are probably 500,000 frequencies emitted, roughly 500,000.
So what I want to know is...
from a huge bank of computers.
Do the computers...
big bank of computers.
Are they
yes.
sending out intention, programmed intention like Bill's machine? Or do
no,
they
I'm,
have
I'm,
a little oscillator
that.
That oscillates at a certain frequency?
No, I can't do that. I wish
so
I could.
So how does that work?
We're sending out frequencies of imbalances and their corollary... balancing frequencies.
I mean, how do they go out?
Well, it's actually a hardwired from the computer to these metal, huge metal trays.
Uh-huh.
And there are many, many, many of them, a series of eight. But there, as I said to you before, Eva, there's 500,000 frequencies emitted.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure
and
out. How does this machine
none of
emit
us
a 500,000 frequencies at a time?
You or me or Buddha could deal with 500,000 frequencies. But we deal with what we need to deal with. And that's, Eva, this is a huge, huge field, and my contributions to this field are minor. One of them is measuring things in units of consciousness. The other is what I call the Rosetta frequency, which is a frequency that enables you to choose and select. Rosetta means it's the translator. And so you select what you need and ignore all the others. Without that, there could be no AIM program. And so, if everyone in your family has a given disease and you don't, you won't select that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
They will, and vice versa. And so consequently, you may select 20 or 30 frequencies and their accompanying balancing frequencies. Ignore the rest of the 500,000. That is why it works. When I was in practice before the AIM program, I was doing basically the same work, except that my patients, as I said, you've read the endorsements, so you know who they are. If I didn't find an imbalance, then I couldn't give you something to help you heal it. How big is this step where if you have an imbalance, you find it and select the balancing frequency, and whether I know it or not doesn't matter. That's huge.
Of course. So tell us about some of the stories of healing that's occurred. I'm sure people will be interested.
Say it again, Eva. Stories about what?
Some of the stories that where people have been healed.
Well, I'll give you a minor example. Like, I think you know about our autism program, right?
Tell my audience.
Sure. Well, that's why that's what the media is. People who have contributed to our spiritual life and are on AIM are given by us just leeway. Like Wayne Dyer, Michael Beckwith, many others. I've said, look, if you see someone who needs this, which I think is everyone, but if you see someone who needs this and you know they can't afford it, just say, okay, Steve, scholarship, put them on. There's no question, there's no justification, there's no, explain it, no, don't prove it. Just, okay, it's your choice. Like Wayne, and he's a friend of mine, has contributed so much to us spiritually that I believe he deserves this. So one little girl, he called me up and said, Steve, this little girl I met, she's beautiful, but you know what? She's autistic. Can you see what autism is energetically, what frequencies are involved in it? I said, well, let me see, Wayne. This little girl I looked at and I said, yeah, there's two frequencies that are not known to mankind that she has to contribute to her autism. And this was after a couple of hours of research, of testing, probing, evaluating. And so I put them on the AIM program, which means anybody on AIM was had them available because everyone, all the frequencies are there for everyone. It's what you select that matters, not what's there.
Okay.
But I thought, I didn't think any more about it, Eva, because autism was not in my consciousness, very frankly. But about 6 months later, our parents called us up and said, well, you know, my daughter is not autistic anymore. And her physicians, her caregivers, they acknowledge the fact she's not autistic. I went, fantastic, great.
That's amazing.
I'm happy to do that. But you know what? It's funny, Eva. I had hundreds of kids who were autistic on the AIM program. I didn't know they were autistic. I never looked for it, so I didn't know. And then the calls began coming in. What culminated, I think, when it was in Melbourne, when Eileen, my lady and I were, I was speaking. I had the mic in my hand, and you know that feeling. A little girl walked up to me and said, can I thank you? And I said, anyone can thank me. I'm not a fool, but thank me for what? She said, well, I couldn't have thanked you, Leslie. I was autistic. That's what I said. Anyone who's autistic can have this at no cost.
I'm glad you tell me about that because some woman asked me about that this weekend. She had a child that was autistic and needed help, so I'm going to tell her to call you.
Well, of course she can. And you know what? If I find that frequency, which I will find in empirically 99 out of 100, then there's no charge. Eva, as you know, you and I are not the miracle. You and I are servants of miracles.
It's not us.
Pardon me?
It's definitely not us.
And as such, we're here to serve and to give. And I do so. We live comfortably. We live well. But we serve a miracle. The miracle is the miracle. It's not you or me. I believe that.
I do, too. Have you used it on anybody with strokes that had paralysis?
Countless people.
And how does that work?
When you have a database of 40,000 clients, yeah, fantastically, incredibly. I mean, I've got endorsements that are on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, www.energeticmatrix.com, who say, I had this and that. With strokes or cancer or diabetes, we have maybe 100 endorsed people who said, I've been a 20-year diabetic, and my doctor took me off insulin.
Well,
which means they healed their diabetes.
I wish you could do that for Dan Haley. Do you know Dan Haley?
No, I don't know Dan. But you know what? I can't do it for anyone. But I can help Dan, whoever Dan is, do it for himself.
Well, he's really sick. He's dying.
Eva, we're in the same arena. You don't heal people. You raise their consciousness. And with that elevated consciousness, you help them heal themselves.
So if he, like, couldn't get to the phone or participate, can you send an intention on his behalf or he has
no, I cannot do that. That's not the technology.
Okay.
But if he said, I'd like to be part of this program, I mean, there are probably, remember, diabetes is not a disease. It's a syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I found maybe about, 8 or 9 things that create that frequency of diabetes. Because there's no disease called diabetes. It's a syndrome. It's a condition.
A condition of what?
There is a disease called measles.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no disease called diabetes. It's a syndrome. Which of those 8 or 9 things pertain to him? I don't know unless I look.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look, if I don't have him select to focus on healing those particular things that apply to him, he won't do it. But he might. But if he wants my help, that's how I help. We all help in some way. You help in your way. I help in my way.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's like, this is what I do. So if he has any of those 8 or 9, then he'll select them and heal them. And after maybe a year's time, if he says, you know what, I still have high blood sugar. And, you know, I had a glucose tolerance test and all that. Mm-hmm. And you know, I look and say, well, you know what? What causes this? And if it's something that's not in our database, which is every known to mankind, plus maybe a couple of thousand things not known to mankind. I put it on the database, and if his name's Dan Haley, I'd name it DH whatever it is, because I'm not going to name every disease Steve.
Right.
You wouldn't want to name every disease either.
So if you had, let's take somebody that, say, had breast cancer.
Sure.
And maybe stage 3 breast cancer.
Or 4.
Yeah, that would be good. What kind of time periods have you seen someone heal?
Well, for most people, you know, it's not an absolute because each person is different. For most people,
of course,
the frequency of the active breast cancer would be gone within 6 to 8 months. The frequency of the hereditary thing that created it would be gone within a year. Which means that if after a year they had a child, they have healed that possibility, they would not have it in them to pass on.
Right.
Because diseases run in families. I'm convinced, Eva, all that matters is what you bring with you. Call it hereditary or genetic or karmic, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm. It's all conditioning in some form.
Exactly.
So
it's like what you need to resolve.
This person with 4-stage breast cancer, after they did this treatment or whatever you want to call it, would they see improvement in their own health, and how long does it usually take for them to see an improvement?
Once something's gone, it's gone.
I mean, they get well. I mean, if they get this treatment.
It's not a treatment.
Or whatever you want to call it, modality.
They have us help them healing themselves.
So how long would it take usually before they started seeing some relief, like shrinkage in the tumor or something?
It depends on the person. It might take 6 months. It might take even a year.
But it does start backing off immediately.
Well, yes, but...
Like cancer markers would start going down?
Well, you know, I've done a lot of work with the frequency of cancer. The funny thing about it is, you know what's most remarkable about cancer, Eva? Its density. It's impenetrable. And sometimes when you begin to heal your cancer, it loses density, which means it expands. You know, oh my God, it's getting bigger. But it's not dense.
Right.
Until eventually it's much bigger but has no density, and then it just resolves and is gone.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Like any other thing. It's cancer is characterized by impenetrability. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I know. It's how hard it is and how...
And it's dense.
Mm-hmm.
When it loses its density, you're healing it.
So basically the frequency raises. It makes it less dense.
Oh, it changes completely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, everything in life has a frequency, a footprint energetically.
Now,
I'm blessed to have found a way to measure that frequency.
When you get these frequencies, are they like to the 0.100s, or is it a whole number?
Well, right now I'm using about an 8-digit number.
Is there a decimal point there, or is it a whole number?
No, it's a decimal point.
Okay.
But this was my revelation. You know, I spent years trying to figure this out and hit a blank wall. And one day, for whatever reason, it was revealed to me. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not being modest and self-effacing. I believe that I take full credit for my vision. Revelations don't come from me. My vision is my vision. Revelations are from a higher source.
I agree with that, too. Does it matter?
Understand something, Eva. You know, people all over the world say, oh, my God, thank God for you, Stephen. And I go, well, thank you. The reality is this. I'm a very ordinary man. And I can say that empirically. I've lived with me for about 70 years. I'm an ordinary man who serves an extraordinary miracle. And that has defined my life. And it's hard work, but I'm incredibly grateful. Because when your life has the kind of purpose and meaning that I feel mine does, what can you say but thank you?
Yeah, I agree with you. I really do.
I know you know what I mean.
I do.
You're obviously gifted, and so, you know what? You're gifted. things don't come from you. You're a vehicle.
It definitely wasn't me. Mine came overnight, and it wasn't there the day before, and I didn't do anything to make it come. But I wanted to ask you something else about these numbers, because I'm kind of obsessed with numbers myself. When you get these numbers, does it seem to make any difference whether the number is odd or even?
No. Not
like
that
even
concerned.
Doesn't represent.
It doesn't make matter at all. You know, in a field of 8 digits or whatever it is, some will be odd, some will be even.
Do what?
In a field of 8 digits, to be odd and even numbers.
Okay. Now, I guess what I meant, that would it be a number, let's say the decimal point, would it be, if it were, say, 0.68, would it mean having 8 as an even number mean, I don't know.
There is some correlation. You're right in your question in this sense. I found most cancer frequencies resonate at a given whole number.
Okay.
But not all of them,
mm-hmm.
but most of them do. And you know, I keep all these, you know, Excel charts on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if you have an imbalance, I need to figure out what that imbalance is. And what I will do then is, if you're on the AIM program, compel you to focus on healing that imbalance, and you will.
And how do you do that? How do you compel somebody to do it?
By forcing, because you will select whatever you need to heal and ignore the rest, and you will focus on whatever you need to heal and ignore the rest.
And do you do this?
Which is why I said earlier on,
or how do
you
do
will
it?
Never choose an imbalance in your prostate, and again, I have perfect ovaries. And that's facetious, but it's not. The point is, you have a higher self, as you above all know. And you know what you need. Can you speak about it? Perhaps, perhaps not. But you do know. To know what you can't speak about is not uncommon.
If the people send you their pictures and you did this work, How do you communicate with them? Do you guys talk on the phone, or is this just long distance?
It's via facilitators, because we've got too many people for that.
Okay.
When I was in practice, yeah, it was personal, but that was many years ago.
What do you mean when you say facilitator?
We have people in Atlanta, we have people in New Zealand, we have people in Australia.
Okay.
And, you know, you contact a facilitator, and they send in your photo, your application, and then I send back what I think is the most relevant information, which really is there anything about you that makes you energetically uncertain, that I think you cannot heal? And your life force, the scale of 0 to 100.
What about addiction?
And that in itself is mind-boggling.
Yes, it is.
Because, look, Eva, 15 years ago, the average life force for dogs and cats and horses and people was between 95 and 99. 8 or 9 years ago, when people like Wayne Dyer, Michael Beckwith, the Dalai Lama signed up for the AIM program, it had dropped to below 70. It's now between 1 and 2 and dropping.
What does that mean?
It means we're not doing well. That, very simply, whatever we have hereditarily is active. Now, everything hereditarily will be active, but it's not supposed to happen until you're kind of old, like me. You know? I mean, it's that way now. In people who are like 10, 12-year-old kids, 20-year-olds, it means that that means there's an immune deficiency, and that's what I think has powered my work, because this is a miracle, but the miracles occur not because of, I'm not miraculous. Miracles occur because they're needed, they're required. I think that's the essence of everything.
Have you worked any with addictions?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Have you tried this on addictions?
Oh, yes, many, of course, yes. In fact, I just gave the okay yesterday for somebody, a woman in the Pacific Northwest, who said, I was a drug addict for 30-something years. In the middle of my second year on AIM, I lost all desire for drugs, and I just stopped, and that's it.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's a miracle, I think. And I said, yeah, and but I did look at it and see what frequency was involved in that, and I found it was consistent. I found it maybe 20 or 30 other people, but she's the one who wrote in.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we've got about 10 or 15 minutes left. You want to talk a little bit about your book?
Well, the book is Sanctuary and Path to Consciousness. And you can get it anywhere, you know, whether it's Barnes & Noble or Amazon or whatever. And it came about 13 years ago when most of my writing was done in numbers and symbols. That's what I do. Now, you understand, Eva.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jesus, you know, I got to write something that people can read. Because mathematics is an inferior language. It's inferior because nobody can read it. Object of language is to communicate. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
And nobody can read mathematics. So I wanted to write a book in English, which is not what I do. But, you know, I thought about it, and I read a few books, and I went, okay, this book is simple and straightforward. It communicates. And it's kind of ironic because after it was published, and you know, it's like it seems to be taking on its own life. You know that feeling.
And
I was speaking in Alabama. I think it was Montgomery, Birmingham, whatever. And and I had lunch with a guy named James Redfield, who wrote the Celestine mm-hmm. Prophecy. And James said, "You know, your writing style seems familiar to me." I said, "Well, James, I imitated you. I don't write English. I write numbers. I imitated you." And I said, "But please, don't be offended. Imitation is, as they say, the sincerest form of flattery." And so he was like, kind of like, wasn't sure how to go with that. I said, "You know, I'm not a writer. It's not what I do. I'm not going to, like, claim to be what I'm not."
Well,
that's how I wrote the book. And it's basically a book that... And I think above all, I told you that the other day, if you read it, read the epilogues first, because they were added on as I learned more.
How did you come up with this story?
I'm sorry, Eva?
Because it sounds like a true story, but it says it's a novel.
That's kind of funny, too, Eva. You know who Michael Beckwith is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because now everyone knows you, because you spoke with a secret. But maybe about... 9 years ago, Michael Beckwith came. I didn't know him. He came to my office. He said, "Stephen Lewis." I said, "Guilty." He said, "I read your book. It's a lie." Well, I went, "Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? That door's a two-way door, man." And you know, feel free to try out the other way. I said, "But before you leave, why is it a lie?" He said, "Because you said it's a novel. It's not a novel. It's a true story." I said, "All right, you can stay." He's one of my closest friends in the world now.
He got in my... Danion Brinkley one time sent me to the
airport. I know Danion very well.
Yeah, he's such a good guy. He sent me to the airport one time to pick somebody up, or to a hotel downstairs to pick somebody up for him. And so I don't even know who the person is that I'm going to pick up. And so he and his wife come, and they get in my car, and he got in the back, and the wife got in the front, and I wrote a book called Agape, you know, and the manuscript was laying in the seat, and it turns out that was Michael Beckwith. That's how I figured out who he was. He said, "Whose book is this? You know, I have a church called Agape." So,
well, Agape is Greek for unconditional love.
Right.
And, you know, Michael and I would have to say at this point, we rarely speak more than 6 days a week. He's one of my closest friends. I love Michael. We're brothers.
You certainly got a persona about him.
Well, you know...
His energy, it
sends out
a long way.
We're each other's mentors in that he needed to know about technology because he can't do the math.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Wayne and I had this conversation. Wayne can't do the math either. I can. But the spirituality, I came very late to that arena, Eva. I didn't understand that. And it's kind of bizarre when you think about it, because, like, I was doing primary seminal research into the holographic concept and the mathematics involved in holography, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, when I read about, you know, Aborigines and indigenous people would take their picture because they felt it captured something essential about you, I thought they were just superstitious. So I didn't understand a thing about it, and they did. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when I met Michael, there's a lot of stories with this, but the point is, through Michael, he helped me understand that my work might be scientific, but it was fundamentally spiritual. And that's why I call it a spiritual technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I do. So,
and that is consistent with quantum physics and quantum mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Not with Newtonian physics, but with quantum physics.
Oh, absolutely.
Is.
Yeah, you're right. So we got just a couple minutes left. Why don't you tell people where to find you, what your website is, what your email or your phone number,
sure.
How you want them to contact you.
If you can buy the book, buy it anywhere. And that's Sanctuary, the Path to Consciousness. And we have a website, which is www.energeticmatrix.com. One word, energeticmatrix.com. And we have a toll-free number, 877-500-3622, which, by the way, is EMC squared, EMCC. And obviously, I mean, EMCC is just homage to Albert Einstein.
Of course.
I mean,
and your website's got a lot of good information on it, too.
Yeah, there are a lot of articles I've written that are not published that are on the website. And if you don't want to buy the book, the epilogues are on the website. And
do you have an email
I believe
address?
That I'm doing the work I need to do because I think, look, I'll make it as simple as I can. 10 or 12 years ago, I was going to retire. I got a very distinct message that this is what you need to do, and whether you can afford to retire or not, you can't afford to. And so here I am, as you are often, too often, eating in airports, et cetera.
You know, it's interesting. About 10 or 12 years ago is when everybody started waking up. Dean Radin's been doing a study on that. Well, no one
has. There's a change, Eva. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and he said, Cassie Beaton's the one that's in. She said there's more people that woke up in that time period than ever before in the history of time. Something happened.
It's kind of ironic. We all understand evolution. This is a revolution within evolution. It's like an ice age or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because it means evolution is progressing at an incredibly rapid rate. It's a condensate. When a given paradigm, a way of life, ceases to work, it will create, in its wake, another way of life, another paradigm that will work. Now, the question is this. Would you be stuck with the old paradigm and say, I'm not moving? Or will you move? Because if you're not going to move, you can erect concrete walls. The concrete is going to turn to marble and the epitaph. That's inevitable.
Yeah. Well, do you have a...
Every epitaph, Eva, should be very simply dead of karma, of course.
I like it. Do you have an email address where they could contact your company, Stephen?
Yes, info@energeticmatrix.com.
And again, it's
info@energeticmatrix.com.
Okay. Listen, Stephen, thanks so much for joining me tonight. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. I'm honored.
You're welcome, dear. I appreciate it a lot. And I'm going to be sending some of these people to you because just this weekend I went out of town and did readings up in Asheville. And there were several people there that could use this. So I'm going to get back in touch with them and get them to contact you.
Eva, I no doubt we'll talk again.
Thank you, Stephen.
You have
and
a wonderful
agape
night.
To you. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.